The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, Stockbridge. And watching us, of course, on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 here in Pittsfield. Thanks for joining us this morning on kind of a cloudy and muggy morning out there. You get up and it's already in the mid-70s, and it's, what do they call it, air you can wear. That's kind of what it feels like out there today. You know, yesterday in the forecast, as I was here yesterday morning, the forecast was calling for, you know, some pretty significant showers and thunderstorms, and we didn't see any of that in Pittsfield yesterday, so it all missed us. Must have navigated its way around the Berkshire Mountains yesterday. We'll see what the weather forecast looks like today, and going to play that in just a moment. Today's show, we got a great show here today. The city of Pittsfield has recently updated its website. So if you use the city of Pittsfield's website for anything and you've checked it this week, you will notice a big difference. And we're going to talk about that this morning with Kevin Zawistowski. He is the chief information officer at the city of Pittsfield and one of the people responsible for all the work in putting that new website together and getting it out there for the public. We're going to talk to him about that and some other things around information technology this morning. I think you'll find very interesting. So stick around for that. Let's first get to the weather forecast and see what the National Weather Service has sort of in store for us today. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind and heavy rainfall this afternoon. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind and heavy rainfall in the evening. Humid with lows in the mid-60s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Saturday, partly sunny in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. A chance of showers. A chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Well, there you have it. It looks like we're in a little bit of a pattern here for weather. We're going to get some hot weather and some maybe pop-up showers and thunderstorms, things like that. So nothing unusual for the middle of July. Here we are, Friday, July 11th already. Hard to believe that the 4th of July parade is already in the rearview mirror. Just crazy to think that that all happens that fast. But here we are, middle of July, and this morning, Kevin's out. Zawistowski joins me for the show. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good morning, Sean. I'm well.
And hopefully I pronounced your name right.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Perfect.
I always try to do that. I think Alex at the library has the hardest one in the city.
But mine's pretty easy for a Polish origin name.
Well, thanks for joining us here this morning. And people get my name wrong all the time, by the way, and it's even a shorter name. So, you are the chief information officer. Tell us what that is for people who don't understand why a city needs a chief information officer these days in the 21st century. Kind of an important job these days, isn't it?
Yes, unfortunately for me, it is more important and more in the spotlight than I would like it to be as an IT person myself. We tend to be a bit more reclusive. A chief information officer, it's essentially a fancier title for the director of information technology. Okay. It's important these days to have a chief information officer. You'll see this in companies and organizations across the country now, where you have somebody that's at the senior leadership level or executive level that has some level of authority to affect information technology policy. And that goes because of how the gravity of information technology. Back in the 90s, it was more of a novelty. you know, IT was in some organizations, but not as ubiquitous as it is now. Now, if you have a say a cybersecurity policy that is not in place, you know, you could put your organization in a very difficult spot. Mm. So we need some leadership there that can make some very meaningful policy and strategic decisions for the organization.
Yeah, I think as you bring that up, it starts to hit me that, you know, we think of IT folks as the people that keep the stuff working, right?
Yes. Yes.
That we all have the problems of, you know, the I can't get on the internet, I can't do this thing with the software, my computer won't boot up. I mean, all the standard things that we think of. But what you just talked about was deeper than that, which is policy,
yes.
Which is how a city and the employees within the city and everyone in the city who deals with the government, how those policies are set out, right? So that we all know sort of the rules of the road of how this is supposed to work for us.
Right, right. And for us, and I think residents will see in the next year or so, the IT organization in the city of Pittsfield is relatively new, you know, less than a decade old. Hmm. And we'll see in the near future some, you know, more public facing general policies to give the public the assurance that, you know, IT is taking the information that we keep very seriously, and we have some certain rules and, mm-hmm. and guardrails in place to protect their information and protect taxpayers' money in how we invest in IT as well.
And I think so many people are starting to realize and wake up now to the fact that your data, the data about you, the data that is sort of critical to you, private to you, that has been over the last 20 years manipulated by large corporations and, you know, sort of for profit in a lot of ways. I don't think that people, even 25 years ago, had really considered that as important as we do now. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's terrifying now. We had, even as much as 10 years ago, it would make the news when you have, say, a cybersecurity breach where, mm-hmm. You know, say a whole load of social security numbers or passwords were breached and released out to, you know, whether it's the dark web or publicly to make a spectacle of it. That was big news, that and you would get credit monitoring in that. Now it's commonplace. It happens weekly to some pretty major organizations. It's a challenge for us and for us to evaluate and look at vendors and where we're putting our residents' data.
Yeah, and cybersecurity itself, not only just the data and the privacy type of thing that you think of, but just the idea that there are people out there actively trying to crack this, right? To try to break in, almost like, you know, why do you rob a bank? Because that's where they keep the money. The currency of our society these days is money, of course, but probably also data and information.
Absolutely. And there's even a different facet to that within cybersecurity is there's kind of this whole political spectacle. And I don't mean to get into any politics here, but we as a municipality are a target because we still make the news. So if you breach a big organization, they have a lot of lawyers, they have some very expensive response capabilities,
right.
Where it may be, you know, nothing to them. But for a municipality in the Commonwealth, we don't really have a huge bank of money that we can just go to for defending and responding from these. So we tend to be a bigger target. And then if an adversary or a malicious actor takes down, like, say, a city website, or they affect some other damage to the city's IT infrastructure, it always makes the news. And it can be used as leverage on even a global scale when you talk about different critical infrastructure that's around. You have literally nation state countries that are targeting us, and we have a staff of six.
Yeah.
so it's a little intimidating sometimes, but that's where the policy comes in place. Mm. We make sure that we evaluate contracts effectively. You know, and at times I'll engage directly with, say, like Tricia Farley Bouvier when we're talking about legislation, you know, at the state level or, right. or even higher, how we can kind of put something in place to help give us some leverage. Right. You know, when I say that, it's...
And how fortunate that we have our state representative who is the chair of the Advanced Internet, right, and Cybersecurity Committee of the House of Representatives. I mean, that's a really big deal.
Yes, she's doing some amazing work, and we're very fortunate with that. And we've had some recent conferences in place where we have now new tools, and this isn't a legislative, but we have a tool called StateRAMP, which is it's modeled after the federal government's basic cybersecurity guidelines, and it's a compliance framework that we can make vendors accountable to. So when we contract with them, we say, you know, you shall comply with the StateRAMP guidelines, and it gives us the assurance that they have a certain set of cybersecurity controls in place to keep us safe.
There's so much to it.
Yes.
It really is amazing how, you know, and again, we don't think of it day to day, and it really nobody thinks about it until something doesn't work or something has happened, right?
Yeah,
and
that's,
but it's all the stuff that you're talking about right now, the policy and the preparedness and, you know, making sure that people follow those policies and the vendors and things like that that make it a little bit more smooth sailing. Doesn't mean that you can't have problems, right? But you got to have the policies.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a lot behind the scenes, a lot of jargon that we do. It's a lot more than like what you said earlier. You open a laptop and connect to the internet. That's just not how we we can run things anymore from the municipal side.
Yeah. You know, we're all nostalgic for the days, the early days of the internet and the web, right? When it was just fun.
And, exactly.
It's hard. It's hard these days. So we brought you here today to talk about the city's new website, which is very, very sleek and new and fun. And for anyone who has tried to navigate the old website, I think, you know, looking at this now, just this week, I think you'll see some improvement. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. So how long had we been on the old website? How long had people been using that?
Well, so the old website certainly predates me working for the city by quite a bit. I believe the initial contract with our previous vendor started in 2006.
Oh, wow.
And the latest refresh we had on that may have been around 2012. Mm-hmm. So it's more than a decade old. Mm-hmm. And it was tired. I had a kind of tired feel, tired look to it.
And what makes a website feel tired for people? And is it just a technology thing, or is it that we've moved on in terms of how we use the web?
Yeah, it's a mix of both. I mean, you could go, if you put the two websites together, there's just a general, almost intangible feel to it. Almost like if you look at cars, a car always feels new, it always feels shiny, and then you pull out that old photo album and you look at it like, wow, that's a... It doesn't seem like, you know, 1994 was that long ago, but that's an old car now.
Yeah.
So it has a certain aesthetic feel to it. But beyond that, there's the biggest difference for us is having a mobile friendly website. Hmm. So
certainly in 2012, the last refresh, or 2006, they probably weren't thinking that a lot of people would want to look at a website on a phone, right? The iPhone was introduced in 2007.
Yes.
And so a lot has changed since then, right?
Yeah, yeah. And even in 2012, it was a novelty. Mm. Most of us probably couldn't afford an iPhone. I know I couldn't at that time. It was much after that that I got my first iPhone.
Oh, you people in your fancy iPhones walking around surfing the web.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. So now when we do that, and even with tablets and that, sometimes when you look at the different equity programs out there, the best device that's handed out is either a cell phone, or it's their primary device, or a tablet for some folks. So we want to make sure that the website displays properly on a desktop computer, a laptop, iPad, or tablet, and any smartphone. In that, also, we have, we'll look at the website in a little bit. There's some accessibility features, too, that we want to make sure that they work on as many devices and platforms
and
as well.
Tell me about accessibility features. Why is that important in a website?
It's important.
And what are they?
So accessibility in this case is to include everybody from different backgrounds and different abilities so that we can all participate as equitably in the website as possible. So it's anything from screen readers to changing the font size, the ability to change the color for folks that have color blindness. Mm. And even the ability to kind of change the language of the website so that folks from different backgrounds, different cultures, languages, whatever, can have an easier experience.
Hmm. So if you land on this website, you're more likely to be able to use it if you're other abled, for example, or maybe in a different language, something like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to get, maximum participation, maximum equity within the community. So it's not just for a specific set of, folks in the community that have the means to access the website. It's for everyone that can access the internet, hopefully.
Yeah. So that's a long time, and it sounds like a refresh was pretty much due.
Yes.
How long have you and the team at City Hall been on this project? When did you identify first that it was time to change the website over, and then how long did it take from that time until this week?
So it's funny. We started in late 2023, when we identified the need that the website really needs an overhaul on it. So the late 2023, we kind of sat down and decided what we needed in a new website. And then we spent the good portion of 2024 searching for vendors and evaluating vendors and trying to find who we would go with, and then going through the contracting facet too, because we are a municipality, so we're bound to the purchasing laws of the Commonwealth, which can make it challenging at times.
Are there certain vendors out there that specialize in making websites for government entities versus sort of, the dog washing shop down the corner?
Yes, there are. Yeah. There are. And I don't want to discount any local web hosting website companies, too.
No.
They do some fantastic
Absolutely.
Work. But yes, and specifically the vendor that we went with, Civic Plus, they do specialize in purely municipal and government websites. So that was a requirement of ours. We did want somebody with the experience that would speak our language from the municipality. We're not here to make a profit, and we have a slightly increased need for putting communication out to the public, even in the event of, like, say, an emergency or a disaster. Mm-hmm. It is a means to communicate, so it's critical for us that it works properly.
Yeah, the angle on the website really, like you said, isn't a for-profit. It's not that you're trying to sell something. It's more public service, and it's dealing with people's requests on the government through the website, right? That's
exactly.
It's a really different mindset.
It is. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to the cybersecurity side, there's kind of a different subset of bad actors that may be targeting us and have a different end state than, say, like a business. So we want to make sure that it's a vendor that has experience in protecting us from those sorts of adversaries.
But it's tricky, right? Because you want to have a website that's open and available to the public. But necessarily, you're also trying to defend against the bad actors, right?
Yes, so, yes.
You want to be able to put the information out there and get people to be able to contact their government to, do payments and get forms and get permits and all the other stuff. We're going to go through that on the website. But so how does a vendor like that help differentiate between those things and put in the protections but still allow the site to function the way it needs to?
So this is a big reason why we go to some of the larger vendors in this case, because they have the resources to adequately protect a website on the back end. So it's an incredibly dangerous thing these days to have a public facing or an internet facing website or any service without certain security tools in place. So we do what we call in IT a little bit of risk transfer. So we build this into our contract, certain SLAs and requirements, a service level agreement. Sorry to use too much jargon. So we put requirements in there.
We knew what we were in for today talking about IT on Morning Drive.
I have to tone it down a little
bit. Okay.
But we put requirements in there for the vendor to meet certain security standards. And then we also take a lot of time to evaluate what the vendor has and will share with us and how they protect us. And if anyone really wants to kind of dive into it and geek out on how they do it, They reach out to me on the side and we'll talk about the different technologies that are in place to protect it.
Yeah, be surprised people are interested in this stuff, and there's so much that we take for granted, really, when we just go and visit a website, that all this stuff, as you mentioned, is going on in the back end to keep the visitor safe and also to keep the municipality or whoever the website is being built for safe.
It's amazing what's
there. It is a reality these days.
Yeah, and what I find still amazing is the speed that we have so many checks in place, so many security devices, even physical security devices, and in this case, on a different side of the country in some cases. And when you click that link of, how do I on the website, it just comes up and you have no idea that it's hitting a data center, maybe in Dallas, Texas, and coming all the way back to you. So it's fascinating and amazing.
So we've gotten in the last, just under 2 years, the whole process is wrapped up, and then this week hits and the website transitions.
Yeah. So I want to walk it back a little bit. We got into the contracting part. So the better part of 2025, we started in earnest in January, building out the new website, designing it, working with the design team to make sure we got what we wanted, and then engaging with the different departments within the city to make sure that what they want displayed is going to be put up, which is very challenging. It's that classic, it's like herding cats, to get them all in one place and get to a new website. So
because they're all busy doing what they're doing, and it's like, you want me to what now?
Yeah.
Check on the new website. Okay, sure.
so with that, I do ask visitors to the website, be patient with us. There's going to be some things that may be missing or incorrect, and we encourage folks to. If you do find something, reach out to us. Now you can reach out to the mayor's office. That always makes it back to us. By next week, we'll also have on our PittSmart app, there will be a section under IT where you can submit anything for website-related problems or updates that need to be in there to streamline the process for us.
There are a lot of things. You just mentioned PittSmart, too, the interactions that the public has with their local government through electronic means, through the web, through apps, things like that. And we're all tied to it. So it's an increasing concern for, a lot of us to be able to interface with these things to make sure that they work the way they're supposed to. So the other thing, if we want to geek out a little bit, is that the city also changed its domain when it came to this, right? So when we talk about a domain, tell us what that is.
Yeah, so for us, the domain, and it's one of those words we throw around all the time in IT, but it's the web address. And specifically when we talk about domain, it's that the suffix, so the end of the web address, the .gov, .com, .org, .net. Until very recently, those domains is what they would be called, a top level domain, carried a lot of meaning to them. Now there's some different ICANN rule changes and everything internationally, and you can have whatever domain you want, essentially, which makes things even more confusing.
But for a long time, the city of Pittsfield had a .org domain, right?
Yes,
it was cityofpittsfield.org. That's what people would have been used to going to. And you've changed to what?
PittsfieldMA.gov.
Okay.
So back to the old domains, .com is typically a commercial domain. Mm-hmm. Any commercial entity can pay for a .com. .net domains, typically a free domain if you want, and they have varying levels of trust. A .org for us had certain requirements to, from registrar, people that hand out the domains, for, say, nonprofits and other requirements, you can get a .org domain. Similarly for us, we are .gov. The only way you can get a .gov domain is to be a government entity. Mm. And this is through the federal government. They are the registrar for the .gov domain, and they do some really extensive checking on domain ownership.
Interesting.
More than I was expecting. I figured we talk to them and say, yes, I'm the CIO of Pittsfield and we need a .gov, and then they just give us our .gov.
Yeah, it
domain.
Doesn't work that way. Right?
No, it took several months, and they did actually check their sources and do vetting to make sure that, you know, both I was who I was and that the city of Pittsfield was in fact a municipality. Mm. And then beyond that, they gave us no option to change the domain. So it was PittsfieldMA.gov. If we wanted .gov, that's the only kind of domain name we could go with, or the only web address. Unless there's a requirement, if you're over a certain size or have a unique characteristic to your municipality, you can apply for an exemption, and that's why you get something like Boston.gov. There's such a big, well-known city that they can get an exception and have
you kind of know what you're dealing with Boston, right?
Yes, so, exactly. Yeah.
So it seems to make sense to change that to a more trusted domain like a .gov, and Pittsfield, Mass. People can remember that Pittsfield, MA.
Yep.
Not Mass.
Yep. Yes.
Pittsfield, MA. So what will happen with people who either have this bookmarked in their browsers already, or they just have it burned into their memory, cityofpittsfield.org, right? We say that. That one's gone. But if you still go there, what happens?
If you still go to cityofpittsfield.org, you will be automatically redirected to pittsfieldma.gov. It should be fairly quick for you.
And some of the old links maybe that people had memorized, those are...
Yeah, some of those may, it may link you to the same or similar location on the website, but most likely it may just bring you back to the homepage of the website, which, you have my sympathy, my apologies. I'm still getting used to where some things are on the website. But it'll at least bring you back to that homepage of the website where it should be a little bit easier now for your visitors to find information.
Yeah. Well, so that's it. PittsfieldMA.gov. That's what you want to go to. If you're in a safe place, you're not driving right now, and you're near a computer, you can jump on that and look at it for yourself. We are going to look at it here since we are a radio and TV simulcast here on Morning Drive in the morning. We'll try and describe it as much as we can for our radio listeners since we're talking about something that we're going to be looking at here in the studio. And we're actually coming up close to that top of the hour break, but let's at least look at it here, and I'm going to cut to that right now, and people on TV can see, and I'll try and describe what you're looking at. There's a nice big, looks like a drone shot of downtown Pittsfield with the Holiday Inn sort of right in the center there, and the First Baptist Church in the middle. It's a really beautiful photo of downtown Pittsfield, and then across the top we have the Pittsfield, Massachusetts logo on the left, and then you've got some, looks like, drop down menus here, one for government, one for departments, one for community. And the next one over is a how do I dot, 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 which Kevin will talk about that probably a little bit more in the second half. And then over here on the right hand side at the top, we have a big search bar, which I know a lot of people use on websites. And then below the picture, there are some nice big round buttons here. Looks like I'm guessing for commonly used things on the website, agendas, online payments, permits and forms, jobs, stay connected, and report an issue. So how did you arrive at what things you would sort of put at the top of the page and the right in the front as people visit the page? What were those things? How did you research and figure out, okay, these are the things that people are coming here the most for?
Sure. And this is where I have to put a big shout out to our Director of Administrative Services, Catherine Van Bramer. Mm. She did a fantastic amount of work and really spearheaded the public-facing portion of the website. So traditionally, us in IT, we did most of the website. You know, we acted essentially as a webmaster. Mm. And we realized that it, perhaps since we are not a public-facing department mostly, we're not the best ones to decide what goes on the front page. Mm. So we leaned heavily on Catherine. And she worked hand in hand with our biggest departments and department heads to get kind of a pulse on what their most requested resources are. And then we have a little bit from, you know, Google Analytics from the old website where we can, see where users are most frequently visiting on the website.
Sort of where the hotspots are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And not we those did, kind of hotspots, the other,
So we took that, combined that with, some best practices and recommendations from our vendor as well, who's seen other municipalities and what works best for them, and came up with what we have on the front page.
Yeah. Great. So now that we're at 8 o'clock, believe it or not, that's gone by really fast. We do want to take people through the website step by step. We're going to do that in the second half of the show. But this is Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. We're talking this morning with Kevin Zawistowski. See, I got it right the first time. Chief Information Officer here in the city of Pittsfield, talking about the new City of Pittsfield website that just went live this week. And so we're going to describe that a little bit more for you in detail in the second half of the show. But we'll take that break right now and come back. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Underwriters are so important for keeping this station alive. Hi, this is Sean Sayre, Executive Director of PCTV. I'd like to thank our local businesses for supporting Pittsfield Community Radio and for believing in the mission of the station. When you hear underwriting messages on the air, you know those companies support WTBR-FM. If you're listening now and your business would like to join in and support us, call me today at 445-4234 and get involved, or visit us at WTBRFM.com. It will make all the difference.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is. If you're an impulse shopper, practice the two-day rule. Instead of making that impulse buy when you first see it, leave it on the shelf. In 2 days, if you still need it, then consider going back to buy it.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Beyond, a one-hour program of science fiction, fantasy, and adventure. I'll be your host, Beverly Prentice. Listen in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. My email is beyond3x5@gmail.com.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM. and also on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lenox, Stockbridge. Good morning, and welcome also to our folks watching us on Access Pittsfield Channel 1301 or on PCTV Select. Lots of ways to watch the show or listen to the show. We always appreciate that. Today we have Kevin Zawistowski. He is the Chief Information Officer of the City of Pittsfield, and we're talking about the new City of Pittsfield website just debuting this week, and it's live right now, and we're going to be taking a walk through that website in the second half of the show. First, let's get to our weather forecast again from the National Weather Service and see if this muggy cloudiness that we're seeing here in the morning is going to continue the rest of the day. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Today, partly sunny. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind and heavy rainfall this afternoon. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. Southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Tonight, mostly cloudy. Scattered showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Some thunderstorms may produce gusty wind and heavy rainfall in the evening. Humid with lows in the mid-60s. South wind around 5 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Saturday, partly sunny in the morning, then becoming mostly cloudy. A chance of showers. A chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Hot with highs in the mid-80s. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 50%. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
Okay, so we could see some more pop-up showers and thunderstorms, it sounds like, today. But yesterday, even though we predicted that, the National Weather Service told us that was going to happen, it didn't quite make it here to the Berkshires and to Pittsfield, so we kind of dodged that bullet. We'll see if we can do it again today. I don't know. You know, after a while, it's a numbers game. At some point, we're going to get some of those storms. It's just going to happen, and that's okay. Again, welcome to Morning Drive, and Kevin Zawistowski. Good morning, Kevin, again, and thanks for being here.
Good morning.
We appreciate it. So we've got the city's website here, and we started talking about it. So maybe take us through, and we'll try and describe for our radio listeners what we're watching here on TV as well.
Okay, so we tried to keep some of the look and feel of the old website. So some of it is familiar, starting at the top of the website. You mm-hmm. have the top level header or banner, however you want to describe it. And you have listed government, yeah. departments, community, and how do I, mm-hmm. Which is very similar to the old website. We wanted to put not an overwhelming amount of information up there, but keep that same feel. And that, I believe, on the mobile version for folks following along on the app on their phone will appear as a menu. Mm. Classically, you'd see it as the old hamburger menu or three lines. Yeah. If you click that, it will bring you those headers again.
So it all kind of collapses down gracefully, if you will, right, when you're looking at it on a different kind of device.
Right, and that's to make it as quick as possible. You know, if you need to get to a certain department, you know, you can click one of those header mm-hmm. Menu options, and the department should pop up immediately and bring you right to that department's webpage.
Okay. Yeah, so we're looking here, and we've got under government, you know, agendas and minutes and ARPA information there. Here's your boards and commissions you were just talking about.
Yep.
So, for instance, if I wanted to go to the licensing board, went down there and click on that link, we get a page for the licensing board. So this is like a landing spot for that particular board or commission. It gives you all of the members' names, and it gives you an overview of the board. And I assume the next meeting when that's happening, and their phone number for connection when they're open, et cetera, right? We scroll down here a little bit, and we can see the kinds of things that the licensing board does. And so that's all pretty good information. Was all this information also on the old website, or has some of this information been improved also?
So it's a mix of both. We did, it would be taking an impossibly long time to completely rebuild the site.
Oh,
so we
imagine.
Did bring some information over from the old website, and much to many other departments' disliking, I made the executive decision to not bring everything over. Mm. So we had a limited amount of pages to bring over. We had a lot of old information mm-hmm. So at some point there was a cutoff, and I'm sorry, it's not coming over, which is good. It gets rid of a lot of outdated and old information. Mm-hmm. Gives us the opportunity to start fresh and rebuild the most relevant information.
Sure.
And with that, if you saw on the licensing board, you had contact information. We have locations for different things. Obviously, that would be located at City Hall. There, if you click on directions now, it should bring you to the map of locations. But if you go to, say, click on departments and say, look at the airport.
Okay, here we go. We're going to do that right now live.
Give Dan some
kind of see what I'm doing here.
So,
nice picture of the airport also.
Yep, and this is where we're giving control back to the department. So, we had talked during the break about how traditionally IT would handle a lot of this. We would go through the entire website as a webmaster and update things. We've pushed it to each department where they have now the ability to update their own web page on the website. So here our airport manager, Dan, has the ability to update his own page.
I'm just clicking a couple of the down links as we're looking, or pop-up. I don't know what you'd call these links, but basically it's like, what can you do when you're at the airport's section of this website? You know, you can look for directions on it. You can track flights. We've got some links to Flight Aware and Flight Radar and things like that. You've got some news clippings here, right, of things that happened at the airport, which that's quite a bit of information there, operations. So really a lot of this now is handed over to these departments to be able to say, hey, you've got the control of this. You can, put as much or as little information as possible up there for people to get an idea of how to interact with this department, right?
Yeah. And one thing I want to bring out, too, is that he has that ability. But if you look on the right-hand side of the screen, you have kind of another menu box, and it has, again, the location. So all the locations in the city are updated now, and we're slowly adding pictures to that, so you can go to a kind of locations spot on the website and view the different locations that the city has, because a big one for us is like 100 North. There's different services in there, whether it's Public Works or building inspectors that are not in City Hall.
And for people that are not sort of aware of where 100 North is, it's basically the big white old First Agricultural Bank building faces North Street, but also is basically across the street from City Hall on Allen Street. So it's within a quick little walk, but there's a bunch of city departments there. But the website, in a way, ties all that together. So it's virtual. You don't really need to know necessarily unless you need to go and visit those offices, right? You can interact with them right here.
Right. And one thing, we'll see if you either click on view map or directions.
All right, let's try that. Here's view map, and we'll go to that. Yeah. Let's see. So we get the little map here, so right? I can scroll in and out. Uh-huh. I can't do it with this mouse, apparently, but get an idea of where it is.
Yep. And again, directions will give you directions. Again, we work with Google Maps here, so it can give you walking directions there in the case of 100 North.
Let's try that. Let's see. We're going to walk to the airport. I'm leaving the website. Let's see what happens here when I proceed to that. Okay, so it's going to take us right to Google Maps, and we all know how to hopefully work that and get there. So. Yeah, that's great. I'm going to hit the back button here. Let's see if we survive that. Good. Okay.
And another feature there is the directory right under where the airport is. So if you click on the directory, it should bring you a list of the folks that are at the airport.
Hmm.
And here it has the physical address, and slowly over time it gives us the ability to add a photograph of the physical location. So again, going back to that 100 North Street example, we can take a picture of the entrance to 100 North and put it there. So when users say, okay, 100 North, it's this big fancy looking building on North Street, there's several entrances. Mm. Where do I go? Mm-hmm. We can slowly add those things into the site and make it easier for users and visitors to find places. Yeah.
Pictures are important, and I see that a lot of them have been incorporated already in this website, and it is a visual medium, right? When you're looking at visiting a website, it's if it's all text, it really kind of wears on you after a while. You have to have something to focus on to register to say, oh, I understand. I just looked at a picture of the airport. Yep. I get that, you know?
Yeah, we worked with, for the most part, our community development department with Justine's department. They provided some fantastic photos for the website. But with that, with pictures and photographs on the website, we also have some accessibility considerations there. So we did work with the vendor to find the appropriate pictures to put in the background so it's not too busy for those that are visually impaired or have some other different ability that they're not overwhelmed by visiting the site. And,
right.
and part of that is limiting the amount of maybe motion. It's really cool and nice looking to have a panoramic shot that moves when you visit the website, but some folks may experience that differently. So we try to take that into consideration with the different pictures on the website.
And I see the accessibility icon here in the bottom right-hand corner, right?
Yep. Yeah, this is it's an audio eye. They are the vendor that makes this feature for us, and actually I believe PCTV has the same one. Audio Eye is the kind of Cadillac. It's the gold standard of web accessibility. They have by far, at least in my experience, the most feature rich, the most user friendly accessibility features.
And so when I clicked on that menu in the right bottom right corner, I see the things that I can change about the website to make it easier. Text size, for instance, someone has some visual impairments, you might want to do that. So the spacing of the text and the font of the text, the cursor, how big your cursor is going to be, things like that. Those are all in the accessibility. So.
Yep. Yes. And one of the things that AudioEye works well with is folks, again, visually impaired folks that use screen readers. Mm-hmm. The website on the back end is designed to work well with most screen readers, and our training to departments and our own staff when it comes to updating the websites, it's made it easier for us to make it screen reader friendly and accessibility friendly, whether it's tagging pictures to add a description. So when a visually impaired person looks at a picture on our website, it may just say the name of the picture or may say there's a picture there. It might not describe it. So we've given the departments to add those descriptive text kind of features for those folks. And it's one of those things that you don't think about.
Yeah.
Most folks don't, but there's a larger group than we really know about that do take advantage of that. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a very important story right in the front page of the Berkshire Eagle today about the work of taking care of folks in our community with disabilities and the roads and sidewalks and signalization and things like that. So I kind of liken what you're talking about here to the website to that same type of thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And especially as our government becomes more digital facing, we have the same charge to keep our website accessible as we do our sidewalks.
Yeah.
It's equally as important.
Yeah, absolutely. What else do we have here on the website? So we went through sort of the government, departments, community. That is sort of the other things that are not directly related at City Hall, but certainly part of the government, right?
Sure. And this is a very similar feel to the old website where you have the ability to report issues to get links and different resources for other community resources and just give some general information about the community, the city of Pittsfield, especially for newcomers or folks unfamiliar with certain parts of the city that want to learn more.
Yep, great.
And this is one we've received quite a bit of feedback already on this, and I encourage folks listening that as you go through you know, our community pages and any page, especially if you notice that a link to your organization or, you know, a lot of faith-based organizations, mm-hmm. Churches, synagogues around town, we may not have the proper location for that. So if you notice it's incorrect, just let us know and we'll get right on it. We'll fix it for you.
That part I would imagine is a work in progress
for
any website, right? It's keeping things updated like that.
Right. Yeah. And for some of that, I grew up in Pittsfield. I'm familiar with some of these locations, but you know, we go through the website and you see that there's a location on a map and it shows up, but we don't know best if that is the correct location. So
I'll look at Google Maps every once in a while and I'll see like a place of interest that pops up and I'm like, I don't think that's actually there.
Yes,
I think that's completely incorrect.
It's been several years since that's been there. Yep.
Okay, and then you've got the how do I section here, which is, again, you might be coming to a website. Why are you visiting a website? Because I need to do something.
Yes,
right?
Yes. And this has, you know, some of the most common things that everyone asks us. You know, whether, how do I get a birth certificate? How do mm-hmm. I notify the city that there's a pothole outside? All that should be here. And again, to reach out to the community, if there's something that a community member feels that is important, mm-hmm. that should be up there, let us know. We have a much easier time now modifying some of these menus. So it will mm-hmm. change a little bit in time as, mm-hmm. as we get a good feel for, you know, what the community is using this for.
Yeah. But I'm seeing, you know, some things that are very common for people wanting to do, contacting your city councilor or the fire department or the mayor's office or, you know, finding, let's see, tax rates or veteran services,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Paying for parking tickets, unfortunately. Learn about recycling. That's a big thing.
Yes.
We just had Commissioner Morales on yesterday and we were talking about that. And we were talking about how to find out whether something is recyclable or not. And that's through the website as well, right?
Right. And in that, hopefully, you know, in time, one of the biggest problems we had with the old website was, or I shouldn't say biggest problems, one of the biggest complaints we had was the recycling information.
Mm-hmm.
When we would change the pickup times to a new year, the way that Google works and all these search engines, they crawl and they see the interaction with links on our website. So if you looked for the recycling calendar for the city of Pittsfield,
that was hard to find.
The top one that would come up in Google would be, you know, last year's recycling calendar. So it got a little bit more difficult.
Well, and I think you make a good point there, too, is that the old website, for me anyway, when I went to find something, sometimes navigating a website was harder than just going to Google and searching for the thing I needed.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
And I encourage folks here on the top right of the homepage, and it should be on most pages of the website, is a search box.
Yeah.
And the website is new enough where the search box works fairly well.
Yeah.
So if you want to go and
Let me see if I can type something here.
You could try recycling or toters.
Toters, that's a good one. TOTERS. Let's see what happens when we come up with that. Oh, look at that. We get a search with a result here, with a requesting additional toters, requesting FAQs, right? Trash and recycling. So you get a good amount of information there. I think yesterday Commissioner Morales was telling me, you know, type in something like, can I recycle, you know, something? Can I recycle bottles? Let's see what it says. Okay, yep. So we got a how-to guide for recycling and a calendar for 24 to 25, which I think looks like it's probably accurate. So there you go.
Yeah, so, and Commissioner Morales is one of those. He is very excited about the new website, and he has taken a lot of time, both him and his department, to update information on there and make it as presentable to the public as possible. So I give him a lot of credit in making it look good for the community and more useful for the community.
And so Kevin Zawistowski is my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. We're talking about the new City of Pittsfield website, and that can be reached at pittsfieldma.gov. pittsfieldma.gov. And you can still go to the old website, and it will redirect you, at least for now. But see if you can try and burn that into your memory if you need to get to the new website and to navigate around. We're trying to describe that here a little bit on the radio. And for our TV viewers, we do have the visual of the website up as we're talking about this. So those nice little bubbles here down at the bottom, those are kind of like the big things, right, that people look for. And I think of agendas. You know, if you're looking for a meeting, and we do have our meeting junkies out there, the people that watch a lot of PCTV and do keep up with what's going on in the city. And that's a very admirable thing. We say that with tongue in cheek. So, you know, we're very glad that people do pay attention and watch their city meetings. But this is a way where you can find out what's coming up. If you know that a particular meeting is on its way, you know, what is going to be discussed at that meeting? And agendas need to be posted 48 hours ahead of time per state law, the open meeting law. So right. That's another thing. They could just be posted on a bulletin board at City Hall, yes. And you'd have to walk by City Hall and look at the agenda that way. But luckily, we have the website.
Yeah, and we do. We want to, you know, as a community government, we want to encourage maximum participation for anybody that wants to be a part of these meetings and participate in government. And this makes it a little bit easier for folks to find what's on the agenda. PCTV, we are forever in your debt for you know, posting those meetings and making that accessible through your app and through live streaming. It's amazing what you do, and if we can complement that a little bit by posting the agendas and often linking back to the recording of some of these meetings, it only increases the participation that we have.
Yeah, it certainly brings civic involvement back, right? If it was just the people in the room paying attention or just a press report the next day, it's very different than actually sort of consuming the entire thing and getting a feeling for what was discussed.
Absolutely. Yeah. In the way that folks work now, they have alternate schedules, or they may not have the means to physically be at a meeting, but this is a way for everyone to participate if they want to, and they're unable to make it at our times for whatever reason.
Yeah. And then down here also we have online payments, right?
Yes. And this will bring you back there. To very similar to the old site. We don't host ourselves any public-facing payment systems. It's all, again, contracted out to different vendors. Mm-hmm. But you will find the links to how to pay your various bills. And on the other end of that will be the same vendors that you're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. So that hasn't changed. It's only the website portion.
Yeah. And then we'll go back again. We've got permits and forms, so this makes it a little easier. If you need a permit for something, you can jump right to that, right? Online permitting, and that, again, as you mentioned, goes to another system, right?
Yep, and you'll see on the left-hand side the different departments with the different permits that they have.
So, for example, the building department or the city clerk or the health department, the licensing board, all those are there on the left-hand side. And let's see, what else do we have here? We have three more little bubbles. We have jobs, and that is for open availability for city work. Is that what that is?
Yep, these are our municipal jobs, so it gives a little description of kind of who we are as an organization, as a employer, and then there should be you know, links within that page to find the current job. The current job openings within the city.
Mm-hmm. Great. The two more are Stay Connected. What do we get with Stay Connected?
This will be, so users can sign up for email notifications for things that change. So when a new article or a new update to certain pages are made on the website, you'll get an email notification.
Is that a new feature?
This is a we had a somewhat similar feature. It didn't work as well on the last website. So yes, this is a new feature of ours where, you know, folks can subscribe to different parts of the site. So if you're really into the airport or you're really into Toters, like we had talked to, you can subscribe there and find be notified when there's an update to those specific portions of the website.
I would imagine that would be very useful for people. And in the like minute we've got left here, we've got report an issue, and that is the PittSmart app, and we can do it right here on the website as well, right?
Yep. Yep.
And that's for if you got a pothole, you want to tell the city about it. Maybe it hasn't been fixed, and you want to get it in the system. This is the way to do it.
Yep. And soon you'll have an option to report an issue with the website as well. That is currently live. I was hoping to have it live, but I don't want to rush it.
All right. Well, Kevin, it's been great talking to you this morning. I can't believe we're already through all of this. And we'll go back to your picture here so we can see you. This has been great talking about the new website. And anything else you'd like people to know about it, or if they would like to contact you to give you suggestions or concerns?
Sure. Yeah, it's one. Thank you. It's been a pleasure here. It's always a good experience. and folks are more than welcome to use the website to find my contact information. It's there, or reach out to the mayor's office if you have suggestions or concerns. And I just want to throw out there that in the next, real quick, in the next month, we'll have our email addresses for the city will be changing to match the .gov. Don't worry, the redirect and the forwarding will be there too, so you can still email the old email address and it will work.
All right. PittsfieldMA.gov, that's the new website, and the city of Pittsfield, Kevin Zawistowski, thank you so much for being here today.
My pleasure.
Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great weekend out there, everybody. Dodge the raindrops. Take care.